Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John, the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Have you ever jumped into a body of water after a long hot day, or into a hot shower after a sweaty day of dirty work outside or extended physical activity? Can you just feel what that feels like? Now, somehow those experiences are different from other times when you've jumped into the pool or the lake, or when you take a shower at the end of your day or at the beginning of a new one. It's the same act, but it's imbued with a different meaning by the circumstances. Now, what John was doing out on the fringes of society at the Jordan River, it wasn't unknown to the Jews. For them, baptism was a washing that symbolized a changing of the mind, a cleansing from sin, maybe stepping into a new moment of life. And while it wasn't just your regular getting ready for school kind of bath, it also wasn't this unique experience of entering into the waters. For those coming out to John, the message he brought them apparently was something that they needed. Now, the text says the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were coming out to him. Now, was the entire population of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah coming out to him? No. I mean, that's a bit of hyperbole, right? But what it tells us is he's a rock star. This is the hottest ticket in town. It's like Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, right? Everybody wants one. He has a costume that invokes the image of Elijah, the prophet, who was to have returned to prepare the way for the promised Messiah. And John calls the people to repent, to change their thinking and their acting, to turn from the pursuit of things that do not provoke love of God and love of neighbor. And they seem to hunger for that. But just when they begin to think that John is all that in a bag of chips, he very clearly pushes that aside. No, I'm just giving you the equivalent of a daily bath. "The one who's coming after me," he says, "he'll give you a plunge in the lake after a hot day." The adult Jesus then comes to John and is baptized, but his is a bit different. As he comes up out of the waters, he sees the heavens ripped in two. The language that is used for that tearing in two is used only one other time in the Gospel of Mark, and is at the very end of the Gospel to describe the ripping of the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem at the moment of Jesus' death. Each evokes the other. He comes up out of the waters. He sees the heavens ripped in two and the Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven claims, "Jesus, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now, whatever happened in that moment, this experience of baptism was enough to drive Jesus into the wilderness, a time apart for soul searching, for prayer, for reflection, a time that he will return from and begin his ministry. This washing changed his life. Baptism. This ritual washing has been an important and essential element to Christians from the beginning of the church. Jesus commands his followers at the end of Matthew to go into the world and baptize people in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, Peter calls on people to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this bath has been an important entrance rite, a transformative moment, a ritual in the Christian church ever since. We do this bath because Jesus did it, and he commanded us to do it. He said, "Do this in the name of the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And because in these waters, we too see the heavens split open and the Spirit descending upon us, because we hear a voice, and sometimes it sounds an awful lot like the voice of the pastor calling us a beloved child of God, with whom God is well pleased. Now, we as Christians who happen to be Lutheran practice infant baptism because it emphasizes the fact that this is all about God's action and activity, not ours. That even faith is a gift given to us by God. And we believe this because we worship the God who creates all that exists, right? It's that Genesis 1 moment, who orders the chaos of the waters in the beginning, and who we believe can order the chaos of our lives, who can speak faith into being in us just as surely as God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and who spun the sun and the moon and the stars into existence, who in calling us beloved children makes it so. I believe deeply in this understanding that baptism is God's action toward us, that it is something wholly significant and different from all those other baths and plunges into the lake that we will take. As one author put it, baptism is no human plaything, but is instituted by God. We are not to regard it as an indifferent matter then, like putting on a new red coat. This bath, which Luther would have preferred to be a full dunking, mostly because it better symbolizes what happens, right? If you're underwater too long, what happens? You die. It is a death and a resurrection, so he dunked the kids. But you're in northern Germany during the little ice age. It gets cold. It's a little impractical, so we sprinkle. So he would have preferred that dunking, but he says, look, this is not a once and done event. Rather, he says, it's effective on the daily lives of all those who follow Christ. It provides us with our core identity. As the Reverend Dr. David Lowe puts it, baptism grants us an unassailable identity. Whereas so much else in our life describes us, our occupation, our race, our ethnicity, our gender and sexuality, our life experiences, good and bad, our passions and interests and commitments, they describe us. Our status as God's beloved children defines us. It's not that these other things don't matter, they do, but it's that none of these things are as important as our identity as God's beloved child. Everything else creates the uniqueness of who we are, but what that core claim does is gives us our identity. Every day that we wake up, and regardless of what the day before was like, we arise as beloved child of God. Claimed by God, beloved by God, fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And we know this because in the name of that God, we had a bath and we received an anointing. This cleansing encounter we have with that God speaks to us in the waters. This God who comes down upon us as a dove. In my home congregation at baptism, it literally was a dove that came down. Our baptismal font was in the shape of a dove and lowered from the ceiling. How about that for some symbolism? This very God pulls us into his own death and resurrection as Jesus. And this encounter is not a once and done thing, but is an ongoing reality that we can and should access at any time. It's not just a washing, but a transformative event. One that leaves us different from who and what we were beforehand. If I really want to shock the parents when they come to me for a baptism, I say, you realize you're handing me your child so that they'll die. It's a death and resurrection, folks. From the moment we pass through these waters, we have already entered into eternal life. That's why ain't nothing can touch us. Why? Because God has already claimed us. We have already been resurrected. Because in these waters, we leave behind the old Adam, the old Eve, who trusts only in ourselves and our judgment. Who believes, yes, we can truly know and discern and pick out good and evil. Through these waters, we are reborn. Every time we dip into them. Reborn children of God, a new Adam, a new Eve, trusting ourselves to the one who came down to us as a child, oh, just a few short weeks ago, right? Who lived as a man, who died and was raised so that we might have life that truly is life. And all of this is God's activity. And I wonder if there is not something to the movement in our siblings in Christ who practice what we call believers' baptism. Not that it is our decision that makes baptism work, because then our salvation depends upon us in some way. Rather, I wonder if their understanding takes seriously the human need to be fully invested in something. I wonder if it isn't the difference between being chosen on the playground to be on a team and actually trying out for a wrestling team or football or volleyball, right? One is totally in the hands of another, Right? The best we can do is show up, kind of let it be known, hey, I'd be willing to play in the next game. The other takes definitive action on our part, right? You got to complete the forms, you got to go to the tryouts and do the drills, and you go through the process. The decision still is not ours, right? Coach makes the final decision about that, but we are committed to the process, willing to follow wherever it may lead. To understand that what happens here is not some kind of participation trophy. What happens in these waters is not just divine fire insurance or something you do to make grandma happy. Rather, it's something we commit ourselves to, our lives to, with the same passion and focus that we do our sports and our jobs and our hobbies. Now, that kind of commitment is what affirmation of baptism is at its best. An affirmative action on our part to engage in a reality that already exists. That we have indeed been claimed as beloved children. We have been chosen for the team. And that we're going to play as the player that God has made us. Now, that's not what saves us from ourselves, but it is what brings us, and here's where our language begins to fail, it brings us into the fullest experience of the faith to make full use of that gift of baptism that has been given us. Every year we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And for the last 7 years, we have pondered together this wonderful gift of baptism that has been given to us. One that we remember regularly in worship, right? You'll note there's kind of a pattern to our seasons where sometimes we start with affirmation of baptism. Sometimes it is confession and forgiveness. And we did that today, right? That affirmation of baptism. We'll do it throughout this season of Epiphany. We even sing our little ditty that we sing at baptism, right? When we have a child baptized in our midst or an adult. Blessed be God who chose you in Christ. Live in love as Christ loved us. So I would invite you during this season of Epiphany to, as you come forward to receive communion, or maybe before you leave, or as you show up for worship, I invite you to come to the font. Dip your fingers in. Trace that sign of the cross that was made on your forehead and remember your own baptism. Right? To say to yourself, I am a baptized child of God. Beloved by God, chosen by God. Then I'd invite you to do the same thing at home. Maybe each morning as you get ready to go to school or work, as you wash your face, brush your teeth, take a shower, take a moment, trace that sign of the cross on your forehead. Remind yourself of your identity. Beloved child of God. Do that with your children. As they go to sleep, remember, you're a beloved child of God. God loves you, and so do I. I invite you to try this practice for the next month and see how it affects you. Does it change how you live, how you play, how you work, how you study? Does it affect your attitude about yourselves, about other people? We begin this new year with a baptism of new beginnings. Because in these waters, we have not only been transformed, but are daily made new. And so, reminded of this truth, that you are a beloved child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, we say together, thanks be to God. Amen. 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 I invite us.